All right, well, hey, good to see everybody. Happy Tuesday. It is good to be back. Let's get in and start talking about what is going on. Of course, oh boy, we got a lot here in the crypto space today. Starting with the most important thing, Bitcoin is over 50,000. And then we'll roll downhill and we'll talk about some other stuff. But my goodness, so glad it got back over. I think depending on the exchange you're on right now, it might be in the high 49,000 range, but still, it is something we have been waiting for so long, and I'm so glad we could get over this hump. But hey, let's jump into it. All right, so let's jump into the swing of things. As we all know, crypto had a bit of a meh reaction to the ETFs that got dropped in the beginning of January. I think it was mostly a case of we've been hoping and planning and wishing for things for so long that because it didn't instantly propel Bitcoin to $1 million, a lot of people got, disappointed, upset. Sentiment kind of turned the other way, and we saw a little bit of a retraction. Nothing bad, nowhere near like the FTX debacle we're all coming out of right now. That really set off this last crypto winter. But I think it's pretty safe to say we're advancing well into a FOMO stage. It's definitely turning into a good time. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it surged to a record high on Monday. They're getting kind of amped up to see what the inflation and the earnings reports are going to say. And it seems like Bitcoin is getting more and more paired with the stock market, which I don't really care for. I think it should really be kind of a counter asset to those things. It's a deflationary asset. There's not going to be more than the 21 million ever made. And if you think about just how many bitcoins are lost from people who mined in the early days and then just threw their computer away because, it wasn't even worth a penny or it was worth 10 cents. Who cares? Now those guys are, trying to figure out what landfill it went to and conducting multi-million dollar searches to try to find those hard drives. Because, they find that needle in a haystack, they're going to be a multi-multi-millionaire. But we got to keep an eye on the stock market, unfortunately. But in conjunction with that, you got to keep an eye on Coinbase, obviously, because they're such a large exchange. MicroStrategy is another good one. They have a large amount of Bitcoin. Stocks related to mining have seen growth as well. Really, this surge in Bitcoin is pushing a lot of stuff up. Now, I wanted to break free from the stock market. I think if we get some bad inflationary numbers, Bitcoin should jump because it is a deflationary asset. But we'll see what happens. But more and more people, I'm seeing price targets for 100,000, 130,000 by Christmas of this year, which if that's the case, heck yeah, let's make this work for us. I mean, seriously, buy it up. Let's get going. Now, moving on from that, a little bit of interesting news. Ledger. So, your hardware wallet, apparently you can now buy assets from Coinbase without having to transfer assets out of their wallet. It's been integrated. This is something I only just started seeing it talked about, but I mean, there's about 6 million of you guys out there using these Ledger hardware wallets. I mean, that's how many they've sold. So maybe a little bit less for you crazies out there who've got two or three of those bad boys hiding in different ventilation shafts and cubby holes inside your houses. Not a bad strategy, but hey, it's an interesting idea. And it comes from the fact that on Coinbase, if you buy crypto, you do not control the private keys while that crypto is on Coinbase. So technically, Coinbase could revoke that purchase, change that purchase, make edits to your purchase, withhold funds, and things like that. Now, are they going to do that without a really good reason? Probably not. That would really erode user trust, which would tank their stock price, which would upset their shareholders, which would lead to the collapse of the company. So while I know some people like to be all doom and gloom about that sort of thing, it really does not make financial sense for them to go around withholding customer funds. That being said, if we're not going to keep things for ourselves, what's the point of crypto? I mean, seriously, that's like the entire thing behind this. But by doing this self-custody. You can keep it on your ledger and trade it for Coinbase. It opens up a lot of options for users, and it makes crypto a little bit more usable, which is always a good thing. Just kind of a fun little story. I'm glad that they're continuing to develop and make things more user-friendly. It makes things easier, because that's, one, going to lead to hardware wallets like Ledger becoming more and more popular, especially if Coinbase can integrate with other manufacturers and platforms. And by doing so, it makes it more likely to get your day-to-day retail investors into the space, especially as they continue to make things cleaner and more user-friendly. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Now, to add to all this, we got to talk about Ripple. They're making some moves. Now, a little bit more centralized than most. Some people don't really care for them. I don't really have a problem with it. I think they offer a great use case. But I can get why. It's not truly decentralized. But the folks over at Ripple, they've struck a deal to acquire the Standard Custody and Trust Company. That way they can get a New York Trust Charter, because they're trying to expand more and more into the U.S. and comply with more and more regulations. It's going to allow its conduct in the U.S. potentially move beyond its role as a payments network. Maybe, we'll see. But they're positioning themselves in a good way, and that's the most important takeaway from this. They've really focused overseas, especially after their legal clash with the SEC, which they've not done the best in. It's one of those things. The SEC seems to really be out to get them. But hopefully by acquiring this trust company in New York, it will allow them to offer more in-house services and tokenize assets and all that sort of good stuff. So Ripple's president, Monica Long, in an interview with CoinDesk, said, "We want to offer more and more of these infrastructure pieces to these financial institutions. We see this as giving us a lot of flexibility." She called it a long-term project, and that Ripple is also seeking to complete the rest of its U.S. money transmission licensing. I mean, they're playing the game. They're doing what they gotta do. They're trying to change the system from the inside. And not in the way that I think would be best. I think we need to push more and more for decentralization and trustless exchanges, but you got to do what you got to do. Ripple's not my favorite crypto, but I know they're doing what they feel is best to make things work for them. And that's, at the end of the day, that's the most important part. And then, I don't know if any of you guys have heard about this new Ethereum-based NFT thing called ERC-404. It only popped up on February 2nd. It was from a group of developers who are mostly anonymous. They're trying to combine crypto and NFTs into a smart contract system. Pandora, their first token under this, it had like a 12,000% increase, and it went from like 250 to like 30K, and then I think it dropped at like a third, and maybe down into the 15s or probably even lower. But it's an experiment. They're trying to fractionalize NFTs and improve liquidity for digital collectibles that are represented in these virtual currencies. Now, NFTs, a lot of them have been heavy on the scams. I see the use of the technology. Do not for a second think that I don't like the idea of NFTs. You can use them in a variety of ways to give creators credit, allow long-term payment of royalties, confirm ownership, and all sorts of things. I just think all those little pictures that people made, a lot of those people were doing so just to make a quick buck. I think long-term NFTs have a lot of good utilization, and they will be around for some time to come. But the initial run of lines of Pepe the Frog NFTs that were quote-unquote collectibles, that was just a digital scam. So don't think that I just think all NFTs are a scam. I think that they will long-term represent a very interesting opportunity for digital and analog creators to better control their own work. So they are trying out this new thing with this ERC-404. There was a lot of issue with the amount of gas that was required to fund these transactions. They talked about updates and improvements. So then the DN-404 dropped. That split things up. It reduced transaction costs. They leveraged the existing ERC-20 token code. And they tried to do all these sort of different things. One of their developers said that our goal was to create a token standard that could act as an NFT with native fractionalization built in. This was a unique unlock of the ERC-404 that allowed users to trade portions of NFTs without any middlemen. So that's kind of nice. Everybody could one day own a piece of a Taylor Swift song. Congratulations. But they're trying these things out. It's very experimental. I caution anyone strongly against trying to cash in on these type of things. These are not enterprise-ready products. These are experiments. They're playing around. They're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. So use extreme caution when trying to do anything with these type of things if you're not a developer. All right, with all that being said, let's wrap things up. Popping over to the top 10 coins by market cap, we got a mix of reds and greens. I'm assuming most people are cashing out all that money they made. Bitcoin has dropped, ooh, dipping down into 48,800. Yeesh. Ethereum's holding steady at 2,600. BNB, yeah, dipping down slightly. Basically, everything in the top 10 is flat. But after the past couple days, I'll take flat, maybe a percent or two as people sell off their gains. But I do think long term, we are in a very, very good spot for the future growth of this industry. Market cap is at $1.8 trillion. I could conceivably see us getting to two easy by middle of this year. But that will do it for today. My name is John Brynn. I will catch you all on Thursday. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you around.